Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Peralt and Joey Capone.
Welcome to episode 26 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, with myself, Steve Peralt, and Joey Capone. The Red Sox have won yet another series and are 13-4 in June. How you doing, Joey?
Ooh, I'm doing all right. I wish that feeling invigorated me a little bit more. It's been a long weekend.
We can just be straightforward about it.
There's no point in trying to hide it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to load up on coffee here pre-episode. And, oh, look at us. We're all good to go. We're reeling. We're rolling. It was a long weekend.
It was. Joey and I went out on Saturday with some friends. It was an enjoyable time after the ball game. Went to Game On. Game On's interesting. Interesting setup down there. I still, ever since Baseball Tavern has not been a thing, I just don't have a go-to bar by Fenway, which is kind of unfortunate. But that setup's okay, and Cask is solid. There's just a lot of solid setups, I would say, on Lansdowne.
Yeah, I mean, Game On is so not my kind of joint.
No,
and you had warned me about it. You're like, oh, it's just like loud and hot and crowded. And I was like, that sounds like every bar. What are you talking about? No, it is the loudest place you've ever been. It's the hottest place you've ever been, and you've never been so crowded in your life. It's just a sweaty. Oh, it's awful. It was awful. It was fun. I had a good time with you, buddy. Don't get me wrong, pal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My goodness, my clothes were vibrating. It was so loud.
Yeah.
So no, yeah, still gotta find the right joint. I have a very specific level of fun I want to have at a bar. I don't need it to be the night of my life.
Yeah.
You know, which is what Game On feels like it's trying to do.
It feels like it's trying to do it. Yeah, that's the way to put it. It's not doing it, it's trying to do it.
It's trying really hard to be like, I'm your best friend, right? I'm your best friend and this is the most fun you've ever had. It's like,
you
yeah,
really
dude,
enjoy this,
yeah.
Right? You're having fun. This is fun, right?
Yeah, the music's loud, and that means fun is happening.
I can turn it up, dude. I can turn it up. Do you want it louder?
Do you want to never hear anything again?
Yeah. Yeah, that element of it is interesting. But the Red Sox, man, they're buzzing. I mean, That was Saturday. That game stunk.
That was awful.
That was just an absolute stinker, man. Which makes it a little easier on us when we're at the old ball yard to just kind of relax and, you know, just take in the monster. We're talking to Colin up there on the monster. Colin's the best. Super nice dude, and he's always great to us. And, yeah, just hanging out with some friends, you know, having a fun time. And it's not – you're not, like, watching every pitch like, oh, they better get on, and then, you know, JD better drive him in. It's like, nah, it's 11-2, and, you know, they're going to lose. It makes it easy.
Yeah, and there were a couple Cardinals fans out there that we got – we had the pleasure of talking with a little bit. Yeah, Dexter Fowler. He was telling me – that guy was telling me he drove – to Boston from Indiana for that game and then was driving back today, Sunday.
Yeah, I don't. That's the one fan wild. Thing. I'm going to talk about a couple of fan etiquette things today at some point during the show. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I really hate, Joey, is the road fan that really needs you to know he's the fan of the team. Like, he drove there. He flew there. Like, I am fan of the opposing team. Like, yeah, that's right, Goldie. Yeah, shut up. Like, I understand, like, the cheering and all that, but there's a specific type of cheering where you need me. I don't care that you're a Cardinals fan. I don't give a damn. Like, you guys are never here. And it's, I got to be honest, most Cardinals fans are very low maintenance. So it's not like, and this guy wasn't being that bad, but it's 11-2 in like the top of the ninth.
Yeah.
And somebody got a single and he's like, yeah. It's like,
I think, dude. I honestly, after talking to that guy, I think he was doing that sarcastically.
No, I'm sure.
There was a guy in the Oakland series up in the pavilion that was, I mean,
oh my God.
Really doing what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When he was clapping, he would stand and clap and turn. Look over both of his shoulders. It's like, you see me? You see I'm the bad guy here? You see me?
And that's also,
like, oh, I get it.
Dude, you don't have the luxury of being the bad guy. You're an A's fan. Like, it's
nobody
one thing
you,
if you're
dude.
A
nobody
Cardinals guy or a fan of a first-place team. Mm-hmm. You're an A's fan. You can't be doing, like, the mocky thing. You can't even, when your team scores, you don't even have the luxury of rubbing it in because you're an A's fan. Like, that's, and it's no harm in being an A's fan. I'm just saying your team stinks. So it's like, you can't. You know, you can't be rubbing that in.
But
I'm just saying with the Fowler guy, it was more of a, it's like a, you know, I need you to know that I'm a fan. And then he was good. We were chirping a little bit. It was a good back and forth. I think that was nice. Nothing crazy. I know. I think Doogie got a single in the ninth, and they're down. Mm-hmm. They're down 11-2. It's like, Fowler's getting worried.
Look out!
And he thought that was funny. So I'm like, all right, at least we can. Play into that.
I had only good interactions with Cards fans, man. We had that, and then I was waiting in line to get just a water or something.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
And a guy came up to me, and he goes, "You got four quarters?" And I was like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Four quarters. I'm trying to get a crumb penny." And I was like, "What's that? I'm sorry. What do you need the quarters for?"
He goes, "What?
I'm trying to get a crushed penny."
He wanted a crushed penny.
And I was like, oh, man, I wish I could help you. I don't. Like, ask them. He's like, I'll try to ask them. They said they don't have quarters. I'm trying to get me one of them crushed pennies. And it sounds like I'm just making fun of Southern people as I'm doing this. Those are words that came out of his mouth. That's how he said it and what he said.
No, that sounds like a real interaction.
All good interactions with Cards fans this week.
They're low-maintenance people, man. They're cool people, and I love that MLB rules are going to change where we're going to have more of these interleague games. And it's about damn time. I mean, it's taken forever to have some of the biggest fan bases, biggest teams, biggest players play in certain parks that they haven't. I mean, even Votto being here, it's been ages since Joey Votto was here. Like, you go down the line with some of these teams, the Mets feel like they never play here, but and it felt like the Sox would play there a lot, but they would never play here. So I don't know, it's nice to have the Cardinals here. I think it was a cool series. It's a different kind of a buzz at Fenway when you have a team that's not normally in Boston playing there, and you have a really, like, that fan base is legit, man. Cardinals fans travel, and they really showed out for this series, so that was neat. But some general Sox notes here. We'll dive a little deeper into specifics during the series, but they have won five consecutive series, Joey. This team is 9-1-2 in their last 12 series, including wins over the first place Astros and Cardinals. Like I mentioned off the top, Sox are 13-4 in June. That's a 765 winning percentage. Let me see what that would pan out to be over the course of 162.
That's got to be 126.
I think it's like 125.
Is it really?
I think, let me see. 124 divided by 162 is 765. So the Sox, if you just like take June, they're on pace to win 124 games this year. And I think that's what Elaine said at the start of the year. I think she said, they're going to win like 124. So I think she was basing it off of what was obviously going to happen in June. And that's just kind of what we're doing right now. That's where we're at. Since May 13th, the Red Sox are 14-0. This is a great one from Justin here. And we should keep track of this one. This is a really good one, actually, because there are certain stats where I'm like, that's garbage. Like, the Red Sox are, are 10-4 when JD has a single and RBI and gets caught stealing third. Like, it's always something stupid.
Yeah.
And this is very simple. Since May 13th, that part of it's a little like, eh, don't love it. But since May 13th, the Red Sox are 14-0 when Trevor Story has an RBI.
Wow. I saw it was like 18-4 on the year when he has an RBI.
Which I think we can just stick with that. Like, I don't need that. You know, when you're talking to your buddy, you're like, actually, dude, since May 13th, like, what's the importance of May 13th? Like, who gives a damn? But I think that's...
Sox win when Trevor bats are running.
And isn't that what we were talking about, you know, last show? Where it's like, when Trevor Story's cooking, it's a different kind of lineup. And to his credit, had, you know, a couple big hits in the series and seems to have found a groove. I mean, he really was flashing the leather out there. Really good series in the field. He reminds you that he makes some plays that are just not normal. The plays above average are way up there for Trevor Story. So that was impressive to see this series, especially when he had that tough play in the A's finale. You want him to bounce back a little bit, get a little revenge in the field. And he did that, which was good to see. We will talk Pivetta, but anything off the top here, Joey?
From game three in general?
Just like from the series, general series reactions.
I think every game had such a different vibe to it. I think we got to go one by one here, to be honest with you.
Because I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so different. I mean, game one felt safe and then wasn't. Game two was over immediately, and game three was like a hard-fought, good win.
It felt like if you played this series like 20 times, they would just alternate who wins the series. it would just go, okay, Sox get this one. So obviously the Cardinals win 2 out of 3. And I don't know if either team would sweep. This series did not have sweep energy at all. It was very like, okay, these are balanced teams. Which if you're the Red Sox, you come out of this series. Not only did you beat a first place team in the Cardinals, and they have a damn good lineup, dude.
Yeah, they
boppers. And you don't see that with the National League team. I know we finally have Universal DH. It only took a million years for that. But you go down the line, they got some boppers. Even like Bader and some of these other guys are like, O'Neill is ripped. We were talking about that where Joey and I are down there getting some BP shots. And this guy, what, Tyler O'Neill, is ripped out of his mind. Now, he shops at Baby Gap. Like, it's all, you know, it's the tight shirts and the tight pants and everything. So, like... Yeah. He wants you to know, this is the kind of guy, not only does he have a jawline, but like the bone is just like popping out. Like
it's everything. Bleeding. He's bleeding. It's popping through his skin. Do you know space bags? Did you ever have space bags?
I don't think so.
Moms use them a lot to store your winter clothes.
You squeeze them. Yeah.
And it has like the vacuum nozzle on it. So you can like vacuum out the air. And then you can close it real quick. That's what he does with his clothes. His clothes are vacuum sealed onto his body. It looks like he has a straw like on his collar of his shirt. And he is like inflating his own muscles, dude. It's honestly a little silly looking.
He's like that SpongeBob episode where he's just pumping up
the
muscles.
I'm a jerk.
The funny thing is he looks like a nice guy. He has like a nice face, and he was signing autographs for Cardinals fans. Like, he has a nice guy face.
Well, because he looks like Superman. That's why you're thinking that. Because he's built like Superman.
if you guys just, oh my God, he's got his shirt off in one of these. This guy is ripped. If you just type in Tyler O'Neill on Google, this is when he gets pumped up. That's like scary. This guy would have loved to be in the steroid era. This guy would have fit right in with Canseco and Maguire and all these guys.
This dude spends every summer at the beach, like nonstop. Wait,
and he spends every second at the gym. There are certain dudes that like, it's like, do you have a life, bro? Like, are you just do the gym the whole time? Is your social life like talking to the machines at the gym? Like, what are you doing, man? This is, wow. This guy's ripped. We're just going to do a whole show on how Tyler O'Neill...
What were you saying about him?
Is so ripped. Now just general reactions. We got to talk Nick Pivetta.
Yeah.
Nicky Smooches is... He's a baller, dude. Nick Pivetta is a guy that you know what to expect. That's what I hated earlier in the season, is that wasn't the Pivetta we know. Like, that wasn't the guy... When he went out there and was kind of uncertain about his stuff... and wasn't spotting things and was getting crushed by everybody. I'm like, this isn't smooches. Like, that was, you know, Philly Pivetta. And the guy that would not really have answers afterwards. The Nick Pivetta we've gotten in the last month and a half is the guy that we expect to get consistently. And it has been super reassuring to have him step up, especially with Chris Sale out, especially with, you know, relying on a guy like Rich Hill, Michael Wacha, to really fill out your starting rotation. Nick Pivetta, the phrase ace gets tossed around way too much, but he's that dude in the rotation. He's the guy. So maybe he's not an ace, because everyone always has their specific criteria for what an ace is. But Nick Pivetta is that dude in the rotation, and if you want to do anything of relevance, you need that dude, and that's who he is.
Yeah, and like you said, he lacked confidence for a bit. You could definitely seem like he was in his head there at the beginning of the year and has certainly gotten away from that. I think there was an awesome example in this game of when he could have gotten in his head and he didn't. In the fourth inning, man on second, two outs, single to left, right?
Yep.
Bounces a couple times in front of Doogie, brings in the tying run. Doogie makes a decision to send the ball home.
Yeah.
Not a wonderful decision, as the throw is obviously late. Runner advances to second, right?
Yeah.
Just tied up the game. Easy chance for Pivetta to get into his head. And then right after that, that man on second steals third easily. Another moment for Nick to kind of let things get away from him. Finishes that AB and strikes out that guy to retire the side and keep it as a tie game. I think that was a moment where you could have seen Nick start to unfold a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think it's he buckles down better than any of these guys. Like, I feel like with pressure with some of the other pitchers, I'm like, maybe these runs are coming in. And you've seen it in some starts before. Even Rich Hill's had a couple good ones, you know, in Seattle there. It's going well, and then it's a two-run homer. And then Oakland, Story misses the ball, the runs come in, like you can't hold them. Nick Pivetta buckles down, and you can physically see it. Like, that's the thing that's intriguing to me, is like you can see him locking in pitch by pitch. And so when he screams, it's because it's that intensity, it's that focus finally just coming out of him, where he's like, yeah, that's right, I knew I was going to strike him out.
Like, he's adding coal to the fire with every pitch.
100%.
Just keeps throwing fuel on the fire, and it's building and building in him. And yeah, it's
I'm telling you, dude, it's like the volcano's about to erupt anytime he get when he has two outs, guy on, it's a 1-2 count, he doesn't get the call. You know, he's walking to the dugout, doesn't get it, he stops, gets the ball back, does this like little walk around the mound, the deep breath, the thing where he brings the glove down over his face, and he's like, I should have got you out there, but I'm getting you out anyway because I'm Nicky Smooches and your day's going to stink and mine's going to be great. I love everything about his competitive nature. That's what's going with all those words are exactly what he says in his head. I just love his competitive nature. I love everything he brings to the mound, he brings to his game, and it shows up out there, man. It really does. Like, he's a guy, I briefly forgot he was pitching today. And I couldn't sleep last night. I got such little sleep, and I showed up like gassed. Was fun to be at the old ball yard for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to my dad. Our dads got to meet, which was really cool. That was neat. And show up to the park, and I'm like, oh, nice. It's a Nick Pivetta start. Yeah. Like, this is cool. Like, it's, I forgot briefly, and so it was a cool little like gift to get to see Nick Pivetta.
I mean, you want to talk about just like a lineup of dudes that you want to see throw the ball in one game to go Pivetta, Schreiber, Danish.
Those are your guys. Like, Pivetta's those are guys. My guy. Pivetta's our guy, but like I'm obsessed with Pivetta. Like, I look at Schreiber and Danish as your guys.
Oh, you do? I think you attest a lot of guys to me. You assign a lot of guys to me. Well, like, Strom is your guy.
More Strom. When I think of Strom, I think of you. Stromboli's your guy. Like, you're a Strom stan, like, in a good way. I connect you with the relievers. Like, I just feel like you're a big reliever. I think you like relievers. I think you're a big reliever guy.
I like having faith in a reliever. I like the feeling a lot of a guy coming out of the bullpen that's like, exciting. Like that feeling that you had with Pivetta, where you forgot who the starter was, and then you have the moment of, oh, I get to see him throw. Cool.
Yeah.
That's what happens when a good reliever comes out of the pen. You're like, oh, no way. Schreiber's coming out. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little surprise just thrown into the middle of a game. But Schreiber was awesome, man. He had a great outing today.
He
came out, struck out the side, and then sat back down.
I know. That was very impressive. That's the kind of thing, like what Schreiber did there is what every manager prays for. It's just come out of the bullpen in a late inning situation, boom, 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 sit him down, we get to hit again. That's all you want. And when it happens, you almost do a double take because you're like, wait, did he just strike out the side? And he's striking out boppers. Mm-hmm. Like he went, I think he went like 1-2-3. It was 2-3-4 in the lineup.
Wow.
He had Brendan Donovan, who's no scrub. He's hitting 315. He's got like a 900 OPS. You got Goldschmidt, who's like the greatest player on the planet, 344, 1,000 OPS. Arenado, who I'm probably more scared of anyone at the plate than him. He just has that little like, Arenado's just got that groove at the plate where it's like, I am going to demolish any mistake. I am going to, if you throw anything and you miss your spot, forget about it. It is going to get absolutely crushed. And he did that twice in the series. But Schreiber gets a lot of credit, man, for coming in there. Tight situation, too. It's 3-1. Right. And eighth inning was just a breeze. And it made it super easy to then get it to Vasquez for an enormous home run there by Christian Vasquez, which, you know, we'll talk about some of the late inning situations. I just want to wrap up on Pivetta. Some stats here for Nicky Smooches. Nick Pivetta, 7-1 with a 1.77 ERA in his last nine starts. That is so impressive. Opponent batting average of 163. 61 Ks in 61 innings. The only other Red Sox, this is from Justin, this is a JP special. The only other Red Sox in the last 50 years, this is one of those where I'm like, oh, you got to do this, that, the other thing, to throw 60-plus innings, strike out 60-plus batters, and post an ERA as low as 1.77 in a nine-start span. Only other Sox guys to do that, Pedro, Roger Clemens, Chris Sale, John Lester. So I care about a stat when it's all studs. Normally that stat then has like Hideo Nomo or something like thrown in there. It's like, you know, John Walsh.
And this other guy had this one really great stretch as well. No, those are all guys who were great greats.
Yeah, so they were great greats. Those guys were great greats. So that's, I mean, it's incredible. And Joey, that leads me to this.
Hit me.
And I am curious of your thoughts here.
Is Nick Pivetta better than Roger Clemens?
Is Nick Pivetta easily better than Pedro Martinez? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer now is yes. And I think it's pretty obvious. I would go as far as to say Pedro would agree that Nicky Smooches is way better than Pedro's prime. No, is Nick Pivetta going to make the All-Star team?
Oh.
That's a real conversation. This is a guy that in April, he had an April ERA of 8.27, and now it is not crazy to say he could make the All-Star team as a starter of the Red Sox. Like, that's a little nuts. Now, a lot has to happen. Obviously, you gotta keep it rolling. These are the kind of things that normally get you on the All-Star team. If you have, like, a 12-start stretch leading into the All-Star game of, like, a 1.7 ERA, like, that normally gets it. It's not typically, it's not what you do in March and April that gets you on the All-Star team. It's the stuff that you've seen recently. So, and I tweeted it out. Sometimes I'll tweet stuff out just to get a feel for the nation. I just want to know what the fans are thinking. And I tweeted it out, and there were not a lot of objections. Like, people were like, yeah, like he should be an All-Star. And I'm like, think about that for a second. We are collectively saying that Nick Pivetta should be on the All-Star team. Like, that's kind of where we're at now, but it's a legitimate conversation to have, which is nuts, Joey.
Yeah. The only thing that two things stick out to me.
Yeah.
One is that, you know, the season ERA, right? Like,
and
I think
still,
like the casual voters. Yeah. I just think like when, you
it's
know,
got a 3.5, a 3.5 now.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're looking at the, you know, casual voters, are there enough pitchers that just have better ERAs on the season that, you know, he's not going to make the cut for a lot of casual voters?
Yeah.
And the other thing being, I don't know that the number of pitchers that each league brings to the All-Star game. Do you?
No. I definitely don't know the number. I honestly, what I was using as a reference for this is Nate Eovaldi making the team last year. And how kind of surprised I was, caught off guard by that, because we know our players better than anybody. Like, like Sox fans know Sox players better than anybody. And that sounds obvious, but like, you feel like you have a feel for your starter, but then you kind of know the national side doesn't look at him like that, because like, we're so in the mix. So with Eovaldi, I was like, yes, he's having a great season, but is he going to make the MLB All-Star game when there's like so many other starters and pitchers that could make that? I am going to pull up some stats because I want to get a comp to what Nathan Eovaldi did when he was selected to the All-Star team. So he probably got announced. When did he actually, Nathan Eovaldi?
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Regardless of the numbers, I'll say it feels like Pivetta should be rewarded in some way for what he has done. It
feels like he should at least get a cake or something. He should get a cake.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good, so maybe we can stop at the store on the way home, get him a toy. Yeah, he's been good. Of course,
Pivetta should at least get a toy or a treat. He should get a nice dessert for what he's done recently.
He's been a good boy. He can get a prize.
In summary, Nick Pivetta's been a good boy.
Yeah,
and he's gonna get an extra scoop of ice cream.
There's the quote card. In summary, Nick Pivetta's been a good boy. He gets a prize.
That would look so weird.
There's some kind of we can't not actually do that. But I'm saying he does deserve some kind of acknowledgement or something.
Yes.
You know? And I think just from a feel standpoint, I feel like he deserves this.
For a little comp here, Nathan Eovaldi, they announced the Sox guys, I think on July 4th, the Sox starters, that they had five All-Star starters or All-Stars last year. At that point, when he was announced, had a cough there, Nathan Eovaldi had a 3.41 ERA, a 9-4 record, and an opponent batting average of .256.
Okay.
As of right now, Nick Pivetta has a 3.50. He's seven. Actually, it's even lower than that because I'm looking at reference. I got to get what's his actual. Please hold, folks. Folks, I know you can hold on, folks. Folks, folks.
Folks.
He has a 3.31 with a 7-5 record. And opponent average is probably. It's going to be harder to find the opponent average because that's not on the I'll probably be in his splits. But heading into today, opponent average of .205.
Oh.
So his numbers are right there with what got Nathan Eovaldi into the All-Star game last year. So, yeah, they're better. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. I think another factor for it is like what starts does he have coming up? Mm-hmm. The fact that this was against the Cardinals matters. You know, it's against a really good lineup. You gave up one run in seven innings. Had to buckle down. Had four walks by the third inning. Ended with 10 Ks. Gave up no runs after that play that you're talking about there where Verdugo throws home. You look at the rest of the games he would have, he'd probably have a couple more starts before they would potentially announce him on the All-Star team. That would be against the Guardians, the Cubs, I believe, and then maybe the Yankees. There's a chance, though, that Pivetta only has starts left against the Guardians and the Cubs, which really
you gotta
means
assume.
You got to assume that would maybe go well.
Yeah,
I think Nick Pivetta is an All-Star, and I can't believe it, but like everyone's on board, and it's I'm having fun here.
That's awesome.
It's just fun that it's like a real conversation that he can make the All-Star team.
I wouldn't have thought to spark that conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
It just hit me today. I'm like, wait a second. Let's dive into the numbers. And, you know, his dominance has led us to this point of, like, this being a real conversation. Like, Nick Pivetta might just make the All-Star team, and it's insane that that's not insane. Like,
no,
it's just nuts. So, April ERA, 8.27. May ERA, 2.11. June ERA, 2. And even 2 this month. So shout out Nick Pivetta. He's one of those guys, man, that it's like, I'm pumped I got him. You know, I get to see him today. Like, this is, I can see Nicky Smooch's pitch. Neil Diamond at the ballpark, Joey.
That was,
take it away, Joey. set the scene.
Well, hold on. Before we get there, could just a couple other little bullet points on today before we go back to yesterday's game. 100%. Is that all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just 2 seconds here.
Yep.
Danish, I know that I'm the reliever guy. I have to be the one talking about the relievers. Tyler Danish let up 3 runs today, Steve. He's only given up 3 runs in one other appearance before today.
Yeah.
It was May 17th. It was against the Astros, and he had gone over 2 innings in that appearance. He was at 2 1/3 innings when that happened. So all things considered, this is like the worst outing that he's ever had, and it was all on a 1-3-run homer.
That ball was roped.
It was gone in a moment's notice.
If that hit someone, they would be dead.
I jokingly said to your dad, like, whoa, 120 off the bat. And your dad was like, oh, wow, 120, huh? Like, he thought I saw it somewhere.
It was believable that it was 120.
Yeah. I just made up a number, and he was like, oh, like, that sounds like a believable number. Yeah, it was. It was gone in an instant. But it was just one swing. So, I mean, Danish is still Danish. Another big thing that happened today, speaking of home runs, Steve, is Trevor Story.
I know.
Trevor Story hit a bomb. Congratulations, Trevor Story. Now,
Oppo bomb. You don't see a lot of those from Trevor. T-Rev.
You don't. Now, T-Rev, I hate that
so
much.
I just want to say it because you hate it.
Yeah. Trevor Story had been struggling. We tried to talk about how Trevor Story had been struggling. And who interrupted us, Steve, over and over again?
Neil Diamond.
And then in this series, Neil Diamond shows up in person, sings Sweet Caroline, and then Trevor Story decides he's going to start hitting bombs again. I don't know what kind of dark magic's going on as far as that goes, but that makes me feel a little bit uneasy. For those who weren't there when Neil Diamond serenaded the Fenway crowd, there was no announcement prior. There was no... Nobody knew that he was there. And then the lead-in from the PA announcer was, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there is a fan in attendance tonight who has earned the right to lead the crowd in Sweet Caroline. And I was like, oh, is it like a military member? Is it the mayor? Is it? Who is it?
It's Mark Wahlberg.
And I jokingly thought to myself, like, what is it, Neil Diamond? What, do you got Neil Diamond in the crowd?
Where it began.
And then there he goes. There's Neil up in the Truly deck.
He was on the Sam deck.
Yeah, I think it was he? Oh, I thought he was on the Truly deck.
Yeah, there's a bunch of decks now.
There's a lot of decks. He was boozing on one of the decks.
Yeah. They were definitely having a fun night. We'll put it that way.
Whoever that was singing along with Neil, you don't need to do that again. You
can just I think that's, you know, at the end of the day, Neil did his best. And he had another guy with him that's like, stop singing over Neil. Like, Neil Diamond is singing Sweet Caroline at Fenway Park. Joey, I'm going to speak for you right now. Mm-hmm. We're not big Sweet Caroline guys at the park. Like,
In a good situation, I'm all for it. You know, in the wild card game, the AL wild card game, I sang along.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not as super anti as everybody else, but there are times where it's like they're down 10-1. There's so many dopes out there that just don't get it. Like, oh, dude, you're down 10-1. What are you playing, Sweet Caroline? What are you doing? Wake up. What are you doing? It's like they're going to play it every time. How do you not get your brain past that? Like, they're going to play Sweet Caroline every 8th inning, so just shut up. Like, it's going to happen. Like, this would be – Felger would always lose his mind about this. I can't believe it, and I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous. I cannot – like, dude, they're going to play Sweet Caroline. That's how it works.
Look, there's a lot of folks that come to Fenway Park once a year, once every 5 years.
Exactly.
They want to hear the song, okay? It's part of being there.
They want to get their phones out and record themselves. Like, it's fine. It's fine.
Right. It doesn't mean I want to hear it when we're down 10-1. But
I know it is a little tough when it's a blowout. Yeah, and there weren't, you know, people had gone home. It was a cold night, dude. Cold series. My God, it was freezing. What are we doing? It's mid-June weather. Figure it out. But it was the guy just needed to stop jumping all over him. It's like let him sing the song. It's you don't need two people. And it was funny because he was like speaking. He wasn't singing. The other guy, like the non-Neil Diamond guy, was just like, good times never seem so good. Like, it's like, dude, you can't sing. Stop singing. I can't sing it. You got to know your strengths and weaknesses. Let Neil Diamond do it. But that was funny. Quite a surprise, Joey. We'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And we were up hanging on the monster and we're like, what? We looked at each other like, what's going on right now?
And I think was it immediately after Hansel Robles had just given up like 13 runs?
Well, it was the eighth inning, so they were already getting crushed. I think Hansel was the sixth. Yeah. But they're getting smoked. I mean, I think they struck out.
The game was over.
Yeah, they had Pujols come in to pinch hit, and I think it was Davis. Shout out to Austin Davis, by the way. He just like eight pitches, and you know, did one for the team. Did a solid for the team on Saturday. He did one for the team, and then you know he strikes out Pujols. It was a great at bat. It was like a 15 pitch at bat. 42-year-old Albert just still fighting through the machine. And then, yeah, like what you just said, like there's a fan that's earned the right to lead us. I'm like, what? I honestly thought it was just going to be some like celebrity. Yeah. And, well, I mean, Neil Diamond is, but I more meant like I thought it was going to be like Marky Mark or something. Like we got, you know, Matt Damon's here. So it was quite a surprise. It was like where it began.
It was like, crazy.
Oh, we're doing this.
It was crazy. That was fun. Yeah, it was in such a weird time. Of the game and of the series, because like you said, like when Pujols came up, everybody was just rooting for him to hit a bomb. It's like, look, the game is over.
Yeah,
I want to see Pujols hit a home run at Fenway. I do. I want to.
I think everyone would have been down with that. I don't think anyone would have hated that.
Exactly. It was like the game is over. Like we're just all trying to get there. We're having a good time. By the way, a little side note that we forgot to mention in Game 3 of the series, Pujols started the game.
Yeah.
And then, he was the starting pitcher of this game.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
You know what I mean? He was like in the lineup at the beginning of the game, and then he got pinch hit for his final at bat, which was like, unless he's hurt, like put him in, like it's his final AB at Fenway. What are we doing? Like,
it made no sense. I mean, the cards end up like, you know, making it a tight game with the homer there. But
sure, I guess.
I think whoever pinch hit for him walked. But like, if you're going to have Pujols as the DH, I don't think he did anything today. I think he had a couple of Ks and 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts. He was actually very bad today. Well, but
he's hitting 200.
Everyone knows the deal. All right? Everyone knows the deal. If you're going to have him in the lineup, like just keep him in that spot. At the time it was I think 6-1. And you're pinch hitting for him. It's like, what are you doing? Now, any, you know, people listening that are all the Cardinals fans that are tuning in right now, it's like, well, the game's not over. I know the game's not over, but it's not like Pujols is a scrub. Even though he's 42, like he can still hit, and you still have a chance of him getting on. It's not going to be that much better with a pinch hitter, and I think the moment matters more for a mid-June game than to, you know, to not have him up there. Because I was doing the math, Joey. I was going down their lineup and being like, all right, we got one more Pujols at bat. I think that'll be a decent ovation, and instead they pinch hit for him. In the Cardinals manager's defense, that I definitely knew his name before looking it up, he probably realized that there are a lot of Cardinals fans there, but it's not like Pujols has some great tie to Fenway. Like, it's not like he's got historical moments here. It's more that he's a legendary player that's just playing his last game at a legendary park. It's not like both of them had great moments together. So I think the ovations were kind of whatever. The ceremony on Saturday was cool. Having Poppy come out. Poppy gets the people going. The Sox know how to play the hits. They're like, let's have David Ortiz come out. He'll have a 5 from the monster. He'll do his, my boy, my man. Like, he, you know, he chops it up with his guy. And, you know, him and Pujols go way back. They came into the league around similar times. So I get it. Mm-hmm. But I was a little surprised. I thought it was going to be a little more of like a Albert-targeted weekend. It was, but I still expected maybe a little bit more. But the ceremony was cool. The Red Sox are really good with ceremonies. They did a cool job with that on Saturday. But yeah, Joey, I think we were kind of robbed of the last AB today.
Yeah, I think the reason, or one of the reasons that it didn't feel quite as Pujolsy this weekend is that he's not an everyday guy, you know, and that he's not going out the same way, you know, like Poppy's final season, Jeter's final season. It's not the same level of contribution to the team. It's just kind of that Albert wanted to stick around. You know, he wanted his final year with the Cards. It felt like a farewell tour kind of contract. Like,
yeah. No, it did. I mean, this is, I remember kind of a dumb comparison, but like when Kobe re-signed with the Lakers, I was like, oh, okay, that's like a hat tip to Kobe, and he's going to stick around and end his career here. Like, this is a hat tip to Pujols. It's like, here you go. You know, you came up in St. Louis. You get to retire here. Everyone gets to give you a gift. It's also a farewell tour that everyone can get behind. I mean, Pujols is the easiest. He has a chance to be unanimous for the Hall of Fame. So it's I got to say, Joey, I just love, I love legend farewells. Like, me too. It's one of the best. It's like, there's just an element of like, we love this game. You meant so much to it. Here's a number from the Green Monster.
I think he might be. I think he might be the last guy that's from my legit childhood, because he came in 2001, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think it was that was his rookie year.
So I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean,
your whole baseball life, Pujols has been playing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, standing in the backyard swinging a bat, pretending to be Albert Pujols. So. Definitely the last guy. I mean, I was also doing that with Vladimir Guerrero Sr. That says how long it has been. Now, water balloon over your head, water gun pointed right between your peepers.
Yep.
How old is Albert Pujols?
He's 42.
How old is Albert Pujols?
42. Why did this come up? I had tweeted something of like Pujols hitting bombs at the age of 42. Why is everyone, did I miss some trend where like he lied about his age?
Yeah, that happened, yeah.
When did that happen? I missed it.
When it was like, I think it was when he signed his contract with the Angels. I think he openly said like, oh, I'm not actually like 36 or however old he was then. He was like, yeah, I think he openly said like, oh, yeah, no, that's not actually. Because I think he was 16 when he signed. He was like 15 or 16.
So how old do you think he is?
39.
What? I'd say.
Yeah. I think he's 39-40.
That's crazy.
When it said
42, it didn't feel right. It doesn't feel like 42 is Rich Hill. Like that feels right.
Albert Pujols does not look in his 40s. I mean, not that you just like flip a switch one
day
or whatever.
No, he's ripped.
He looks good. Yeah, but
he looks good. Yeah.
I mean, those rumors are always going to kind of circulate with a young stud, especially an international player. Like,
yeah,
that's just like those rumors are going to circulate, especially from that time period from, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
That was right around Danny Almonte era.
Yeah.
It was happening in the Little League World Series. So like, I would understand why you'd cut any corner to get to the bigs. Of course, I get it.
Yeah. But this was like an actual report from some league insider who was like, yeah, no, Albert just told me directly, like, yeah, I'm not 37.
It's kind of hilarious, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? But yeah, that was a cool series, man. I love Nolan Arenado. I do. He's just so good. He's so smooth. His swing is perfect. He's got this little like bop in his stance, and he's got this little pep in his step. Very confident player, but not cocky. That's a fine line. And he just looks like a ball player. Like, I just love watching him play the game more than anyone else that's not on the Red Sox. And I've always wanted him to be on the Red Sox. And this is as close as he's going to get. It's hitting home runs at Fenway, but for a different team.
Yeah. It's pretty cool that over the course of like a month, you and me both got to see our favorite non-Red Sox players come to Fenway.
Yeah.
That are
Who's yours? I thought yours was Vladdy.
Yeah, I guess like the new era would be Vladdy, but it's been Votto for
Yeah.
I named myself after him, remember?
Yeah. I remember when you were born, you're like, I'm Joey because of Joey Votto, who's not even on the Reds yet, but he will be.
But he will be.
And you're probably thinking, why does it even matter about some guy on the Reds? Like, you're getting born in New England.
And I'm like, no, you'll get it. He's going to be, like, good, and then he's going to be not so good for a little bit. But then he'll change his approach, and he'll get better.
Yeah, that's how that's going to work.
Sure.
Any other thoughts from the series? This is a fun series, Joey. It was. I kind of anticipated there to be a different buzz with this series, and there was. You had the national game on Saturday, Ken Rosenthal in the building. He's a busy man, bro. He's always going around interviewing JD, Arenado, Pujols, all these guys. He's a hard worker. I'll never forgive him for breaking the Alex Rodriguez news during game four of the 07 World Series. I will never forgive him for that. It was the eighth inning. And he's like, A-Rod's going to opt out or whatever. I'm like, dude. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was, what was it? Signed a big deal with the Yankees. I don't know. It was some Yankee. It was garbage. Anyway. But yeah, he's a hard worker is what I'm trying to say. And
what a hard turn there that you're like, he's a hard worker. I really like him. He's all over the place. He's great. It's always good to see him. I'll never forgive him. What?
Ken Rosenthal is great. He stinks, though. You gotta remember that.
Like, what are we not forgiving him for? Holy cow!
No, he's a little guy. He's a little guy.
I would love to keep Ken Rosenthal in my shirt pocket. Let me tell you that, and bring him around and help him interview people. He's a nice little man.
Small little man, that Ken Rosenthal.
Nice small little man.
Nice small man.
No other thoughts from this series, bro. Obviously, pitching in game one was what it was. Pitching in game two is what it was.
Shout out Michael Wacha, right? Wacha love.
Yeah, a little Wacha love.
I think that was my only prediction. He'll have a good start against his former team, and he did. And I love Michael Wacha. We'll tell you, after his next start, we'll do a more deeper dive into Wacha and the numbers and just the vibes. But they're great right now, I'll tell you that much.
Big time. Big time.
The weather stunk. That was my last thought. The weather was not fun at all. It was freezing.
Yeah,
so,
no, you're correct.
Let's clean that up. Series MVP. Didn't forget this time.
No.
It is series MVP time.
Do you want to actually, hold on, I'm going to just quick pause.
Yeah.
Do you want to toss it to break before we do the MVPs?
Before we do the series MVP, we are going to take a quick break on Inside the Monster. We are back. Series MVP time on Inside the Monster. It's been fun to do these series MVPs, Joey. It's not like we forget every time.
No, I look forward to it.
But I'm just saying, that wasn't even meant to be a joke. It's five straight series wins. I forgot that we even had this as part of the show for a while there. They would just lose series to stay in shape. It was getting embarrassing. And now they're finally finding their rhythm and beating good teams. And this is a series they would have lost easily earlier in the season. So glad to see them get the dub. And Joey, I'm going to toss it to you. Who is your series MVP?
Want to give an honorable mention first here.
That's fair.
And that's to Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to give my non-honorable mention. This is a fun little thing that I've been kind of half sprinkling in.
Yeah.
JD had a tough series. He went 1-for-12. But my series MVP is a man.
This is who? My favorite part of this segment is always my series MVP is a man.
It's a guy this time.
It's a girl. It's Tessie.
Hey. It's going to be a dude. Who?
This time it's a dude.
Who? Needed an icon in the building to remind him that he's also an icon in the building. It's Trevor Story, 3-for-9 with a homer. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Trevor Story. Back, Trevor. Series
33,
MVP.
A homer.
I think that one's fair. I think that's a good pick. Yeah. Important homer today. Get the boys going a little bit, and then they hung out. They chilled, and they're like, wait, we should probably get some more runs. And then they got more runs. Yeah. My series MVP is the guy that got the game-winning runs, what ended up being the game difference in runs on Sunday. Joey, I'm giving it to Christian Vasquez.
Are you
now? I'm giving series, and here's my logic.
Didn't he only play in two games?
I'm the king of giving series MVP to the guy that had like one swing. So here's my logic. Vasquez doesn't hit that home run, now you could probably make the argument that Hauk is just in there from the beginning, and it's not Danish when they had the 6-1 lead. I get it. But if, let's just play along with me here.
Okay.
If Christian Vasquez doesn't hit that home run, first off, there's a lot less breathing room. It's 3-1 going to the ninth inning, and God knows this is always a grind and a half in the ninth inning for the 2022 Boston Red Sox. But yeah, he doesn't hit that. Let's say the Cardinals take the lead. Talk about how different this show would have been if the Cardinals won in the ninth inning and won the series, and the Sox are just like, what the hell just happened to us? Like, how did we almost did it on Friday, and then we did blow it on Sunday. So avoiding that chaos, keeping the streak of series wins going with five straight, and Christian Vasquez just deserves more credit for who he is. I mean, it's he kind of gets lost in the mix on the Red Sox. I forget about him half the time. Not like that, but just like
that.
Oh, right. Nah, that was aggressive. I more mean, oh, right, he can hit a bomb. Like, that. Right, this is a guy that can hit a clutch homer. When he comes up, I'm always just like, oh, yeah, it's Vasquez, whatever. Like, I was recording the story at bat before, and then I didn't record for Vasquez. I didn't have the tinkles at all, and then he goes deep. So, enormous home run. Obviously, you would want the bullpen to be a little cleaner there and for Apple Danish to not give up the three-run Johnson, but... You know, that home run made a big difference, and it has us at ease right now, Joey, which
absolutely
is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's favorite player. I've mentioned that a handful of times on here.
Yeah.
And my dad got to watch a Vasquez home run today. And the last time me and my dad went to a game together, that Vasquez got a little postseason ding dong.
Postseason dong Johnson.
Might remember. Won the game. They call it a walk-off home run. So, yeah, I mean, that is actually crazy to go to two games months apart in different seasons, and Vasquez gets a home run in both of them.
Three-run shot both times.
That's true. Didn't even think about that. Yeah. So, shout-out Christian Vasquez making my dad's day.
Real quick on Chris Sale. Christopher Allen Sale is starting his rehab assignment basically today. Two starts with the Sea Dogs, two starts with the Woo Sox. Hopes to return to the rotation around July 16th, the middle of July, around the All-Star break. If I'm the Sox, by the way, just let the All-Star break happen, right? If it's the difference between before or after, just have it be after. I don't know why you'd want to race into it. I understand everything's based off of how you line up starts and, you know, time everything out, but I'd rather they just come out of that All-Star game that has like 40 billion Sox in it and just have him pitch then, which would be, especially because you have a homestand after the All-Star break. You host the Blue Jays, host the Guardians, host the Brewers. Those are big games. That's a big homestand right after the All-Star break. I would have Chris Sale starting one of those games that weekend.
I would have him do them all.
I would have Chris Sale start every game from July 22nd to July 31st. And then you head to Houston. That should be the plan. So that'll do it, though. Well, we got closing thoughts. We got closing thoughts. And these are the final thoughts of the show. But definitely, I would say these are the most important thoughts of the show for me today. And as I gave my mom a shout-out for Mother's Day, got to give my dad a shout-out for Father's Day. My dad's the absolute greatest. Brought him to the ballpark today. Super pumped our dads got to meet. New England dads are the best, man. I mean, they've been shoveling for years. They've been through the tough stuff here. I think if my dad had it his way, he would not live here. You know, it would be, I think a lot of New England dads, it's like, well, I grew up here, so I'm here. Like, this is how this works. But no, it's just the best, man. I mean, I know I said it a couple episodes ago, but my parents are great, and you know, they've supported the hell out of me and my brothers and have definitely paved the way for a super comfortable existence. And I know that's not always the case with everybody. And I wouldn't be here without my dad. You know, it's I basically am now doing what he would have loved to do. And I go into every show like, let's make my dad proud. Obviously, mom too. But like, dad, you know, go Sox. That's my dad's a Sox guy. And I want to make sure I have takes that he's like, good point, Steven. You know, that was a good point on that podcast of yours. That's what I'm always hoping for. So... Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Dad. You're the best.
Talk about a huge compliment is just when your dad goes like, hey, yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, I heard what you said about that thing, and I agree. I'm always like, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I got a good one. Let's go. And then you know, anytime he says that, I repeat that stat and that fact for like a month. I'm like, and I actually have to go back to a point I made about Garrett Whitlock, because my dad said it was good.
My dad said this was actually a pretty good point.
So I'm going to repeat it, and it's that Whitlock should be in the bullpen, like everyone else is saying. But yeah, shout out dad. Your closing thought here, Joey, you're like, I am not shouting out my dad.
No. No.
Your dad's cool, man. I'm glad I got to meet your dad. I love that it's Lou, right?
It's Lou, yeah.
I love that he said, hey, nice to meet you, Lou Capone, as if I wouldn't know his last name's Capone. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a formal dude. That's pop for you.
Yes.
He said to me after, when we left, he goes, I didn't realize Steve was so young.
Oh, whoa, that's great. I love hearing that. I think. I was like, wait, is that good?
I was like, what do you mean? Like, what did you think?
What do you think, I was 50?
50? Yeah. I don't know. I think he like thought that you were like that you'd been around for longer than you've been. I guess that's what older means, but you know what I mean.
No,
like,
I know.
In radio and whatnot. I was like, I told you he was doing a podcast with Barstool before this podcast. Do you think they
They have a couple older 50-year-old folks, but not many. I mean, it's really just like Portnoy's dad, but
yeah. I thought you'd like to hear that. In all honesty,
I love hearing that. Are you kidding me? No, that's awesome. I had some dude say I looked like I was 26 this weekend, so I'm your age, Joey.
Wow,
I'll take it.
My dad was handing out compliments too, because when I got in the car, Bradford was right there, our good pal Rob Bradford.
Yeah,
and he's like, "That's Bradford. Where's the rest of them?" He's like, wow, he looks great. Like,
he looks good.
Throwing around compliments that Father's Day got you feeling good.
He's feeling himself, right? It's Father's Day. He's like, this is my day. I'm going to give back a little bit. You know, everyone's saying happy day to me. Oh, good job losing weight. You look young, Steve.
Here, have a flower. Just have a walking flower around you're the street.
Hey, you want a couple chips? Yeah, no, it's that's definitely good to hear. I would say one thing, Joey, in terms of looking younger than you are. The only tip I have is just face lotion, man. You need the face routine. I got a face wash and then a face lotion on top of that, like twice a day. And I think I'm just gonna stay looking young for so long, bro. Like, you know how young I am, bro? Like, I'm so young, bro. I never understood the people that like hate saying their age. Like, shut up. Like, who cares? Yeah. And I not to call out the entire, you know, other gender, but who cares how old you are? Just say how old you are. We're like the place we live on is like billions of years old. We all exist at the same time. Just say how many years you have. It's not a ton compared to how long we've been here. I don't give a damn.
Compared to the Earth, I'm not that old.
I know. I'm not saying I didn't mean to say it like that. I'm more just like if you're 45, you're 45. Who cares? Like I hate when people are like, you know, makes me feel young. Just shut up. It's we're all here. We're all living. Let's have some fun. Sox are winning games. It's a great time to be alive.
I think I'm going to catch up to you with age looks. I don't think I look that much younger than you now anyway, especially not with the mustache going on.
Yeah,
right
the stash makes you look actually maybe older than me, honestly.
Yeah, but like you're going to keep doing the creams or whatever. I stopped using my creams.
Creams or whatever.
I got creams. When I started this gig, I was like, I'm going to be on camera. I got to look pretty. I'm going to put – I got like an eye – undarkening thing, and then I was like, I'm not gonna, and it just sits in the drawer. And I do all the things. I smoke cigarettes. I drink.
You shouldn't.
Beer.
You should stop doing that. Don't.
No, I shouldn't.
Cigarettes.
Those things make you feel good, and
don't.
They also make you look older.
Yeah,
and
they make your insides a big old thing of garbage.
Oh, my insides feel terrible. Don't even talk about my insides. Insides
don't
terrible.
Don't smoke the cigs.
No,
don't
I mean, I'm not advising food. People do it, Steve. Don't. What I'm saying is
I'm telling you, don't smoke cigs. I'm telling you. No, I hear
but
you.
Happy Father's Day, everybody, to the dads out there. That's my closing thought, especially mine. That's my closing thought.
Yeah, I love that. That was really good. The Sox are buzzing, thanks. Man. I know the bullpen concerns remain, which is fine. But Chris Sale should be back in a month. You can move Whitlock back to the bullpen. Tanner Houck is likely feeling more comfortable in a potential closer role. Times are fun. Times are fun. And I really want it to feel like summer at Fenway. Enough with this cold weather. That was not fun at all. But the team's buzzing. 5 straight series wins. And, yeah, that'll do it for the series recap. Next time you hear us, we'll hopefully be very soon. We'll be previewing the Red Sox-Tigers series. The Detroit Tigers come to town. Joey, I always say you can never guarantee a sweep, but by golly, I want to guarantee one for this series coming up at Fenway Park. But that'll do it for episode 26, the Wade Boggs episode. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer. Mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.